Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. Find out more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. And our thanks to highspeedweb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Fort Mill School Superintendent Dr. Chuck Epps is with us today. And when you went to superintendent school, if there was ever such a thing, did anybody ever envision, I know you talked about snow days and, you know, electricity being lost and, you know, having to close school for a day or two, but did anybody ever think that you have to close school for two months?
You think about it, Manning, this is a new, unique situation for all parts, all segments of our society, schools, business. This is really, you couldn't prepare for it. I don't think there was a course that prepared you for it.
You know, though, the bright side of this, I guess if it's the bright side, is that with the advent of technology and how educators have used it, the education process continues. Not as nice as it is in the classroom, but it does continue because you got all this online capability.
Certainly not as nice as it is being face-to-face, but and we can talk about that. But just the fact that you think about the 90s before we had internet everywhere. Can you imagine? I mean, what this would have done? It would have really just stopped us all cold as far as education is concerned.
I'm curious. You advance students to the next grade based on their level of performance from the current year. How do you gauge that when you haven't had a student in the classroom for a couple of months?
Well, and that's an issue not only for the York County of South Carolina, but also for probably about every student in America. So we're all the good heads are coming together. We're looking at ways to, and Molly Spearman has committees in place, and we're looking at ways to evaluate students, and we'll have to see where they are when we see them again, and we'll have to provide additional remediation. We're sure of that. I don't know. Some of that could look like summer school. It could we're talking about adding days to the first of the school year. There's all kind. But yes, we'll have to address it because everybody it used to be known the summer slide. Well, now we got the summer slide when you're not in school versus a couple of 3 months, I guess.
So you can almost pick up, I would think, immediately a professional educator. Let's say they're teaching sixth grade or seventh grade. Yeah. You bring back kids who have been shuttered out of school for 3, 4, or 5 months now, it won't take long for them to figure out.
It's amazing because they do it for a living at each grade level. The elementary will be able to tell how much they can read and comprehend. Of course, we'll have measures to tell exactly where they're deficient. But, yes, in answer to your question, we'll find out where they're deficient and we'll have to address it.
I should mention to you that before we went on the air that if there's a positive to come out of this mess, would be, I would think, a newfound appreciation for all those who are in the profession of education. Because now moms and dads have been forced to take care of that responsibility amongst all their others. And there's a recent Wall Street Journal study, last week I think it was, that said 4 out of 5 American families surveyed said, quote, they have a newfound appreciation for teachers. And secondly, that they felt they should all get a raise. I thought that was pretty good.
I hope we can remember that next time we have some money in the budget. But, I think you're exactly right, Manning. An appreciation for the normalcy that school provides in our society in general, the routine, not to mention the value of a teacher face-to-face as opposed to completely online. Personal experience, my own daughter didn't go into education because for various reasons, but she's reminded me several times she's not a teacher and she's having trouble with the being a teacher at home. So I feel your pain, parents, Yes, so we did learn that, at least during the, if there's an upside, I guess, or I guess it's an upside of how valuable those people really are.
One of the things that you always have to deal with is the budget, and the legislature has made it very clear that the $1.8 billion extra dollars they thought would be in play for the next fiscal year, at least half of that is gone. I think they're going to find out it's going to be more than that. So you just, I guess, try to figure I'm going to operate the same way we did this year?
Well, what we're going to do, and I think each you read across the state, districts are doing several things. Some of them are doing continuing resolutions. Now, that's difficult for a growth district like Fort Mill and some of the York County districts. So we're going to try to pass a budget, and it'll be bare bones. It'll only be instructional in nature and include the new teachers that we need for growth. But so everybody's a little different. I think the legislature is going back into session tomorrow, and they're going to pass a continuing resolution for the state. And but see, that would not if we did that, we would still have to add on for the growth, because we're still expecting some 916 new students, and the numbers are holding up right now. You can look at our impact fees, they've not decreased, in fact they've increased. So we've got to, and some of those kids are already here as you grow during the year. So we're a little different situation.
Well, with that being said, where are you with adequate buildings to house all these new kids?
Well, that's, you know, we're opening two elementaries, and that's on schedule for this coming. One of them will be delayed. We publicly already talked about that, but we are able to accommodate that. That's this August of 2020. In 2021, August, we're opening our next middle school. So that's the last of the building program of the last referendum. So we will have to look at the new five-year chunk of needs, and we'll do that this fall, and see how many additional buildings we need going forward.
Did you ever imagine that your school district would just continue to grow at roughly 1,000 students a year?
Never imagined. Of course, I grew up here, and we were the smallest district in York County, and very quickly we're second now behind Rock Hill over a 20-year period. But no, I didn't. You know, but during the downturn in 2008 and 2010, we continued to grow, just not as robust as during normal times. So I think the being close to Charlotte, all those reasons are impact York County mostly favorable. We continue to see growth, but no, I did not see it coming in regards to the numbers we've seen.
So bring me up to date, if you would, Dr. Epps, on the, you know, the lawsuit over the impact fees. We know that you won that case, and I've forgotten how much was in the kitty, $7 or $8 or $9 or $10 million.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we crossed the $25 million.
$25 million
point in collections.
And boy, growth has been stamina.
Well,
that's terrible.
That's what I said.
Boy, you just killed it.
That's what I meant by we haven't seen a slowdown. Yeah, we won the last portion of the appeal, and now I think the other side's trying to decide whether to appeal to the next court, which I would think would be the state Supreme Court.
So we're just sitting in
they've got so many days to make their intentions known, and I have not heard definitively what they're going to do yet.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in that courtroom when somebody says, this is just going to kill growth, and the judge is going to look up and say, you said what? Are you kidding me?
Well, I'll have no comment on
no
that.
No comment. Okay. But the $25 million will go towards this school construction.
That's right. That's right. It can only go toward brick and mortar, the impact fee. And it comes, as you know, out of the new residents who are moving here.
So take me through what your world, your personal world has been as superintendent with everything closed up like it's been.
Well, it's been some frustrations, as you can imagine, because you're not seeing everybody every day. I had two Zoom meetings this morning.
Are you tired of Zoom yet?
Well, it's kind of, the newness is wearing off. I can say that. You got to make sure you look presentable if you're going to have the video part on. But that part has been frustrating. Just knowing exactly how things are going, you don't have a handle on the pulse of how effective the e-learning is at all the grade levels. We're evaluating that now. We're going to know exactly how effective or ineffective and where we needed to improve, where we need to improve in the event we have another spike in this virus, you know, going forward, or maybe not this virus, but another virus. So, but no, it's been frustrating in that regard. It's been frustrating in the fact that you go out in the community and it seems everything seems so different. I don't know. It's just what you don't know is the part that's frustrating to me.
And now, of course, you're getting into graduation season. And you've already announced plans for that, but I think it's going to be fine. I mean, it's not going to be what the traditional thing is going to be, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not a traditional year, you know. And where we are with that, Manning, we first went to a sampling of our students, and they were they set some guardrails up for us that we've tried to abide by, and those guardrails were and are that they wanted to graduate together. We looked at graduating in shifts and where we could accommodate crowds. They did not want that. They wanted to graduate in on their campus. You know, we could have gone to different venues. I mean, I guess we could have gone to Charlotte Motor Speedway if we asked permission, where you would have plenty of seats. They didn't want that. So when you look at the guardrails that they asked us, requested from us, then you look at our two stadiums. So the bottom line is we're going to have an in-person graduation, students only. It's where we stand today. We are evaluating it on a weekly basis to see what happens from the governor. But as long as the six-foot social distancing rule is in place, we cannot accommodate that at the with the capacity of our current two stadiums. Bob Jones Stadium, to complicate it further, is undergoing some renovations on the handicapped seating, so they've got less seats for us to deal with. And then the other, the stadium at Nation Ford holds less seating than Bob Jones. So we've got challenges at both stadiums where the numbers, and we had the principals go out and mark the six-foot spots, which when you really think about it, it's a 36-square-foot circle around a person. And you'll be surprised how little you can get in. I don't know if you're keeping up with the Accelerate South Carolina, but a 72-seat school bus can only accommodate like 13 kids. When you apply the social distancing. So that's what we're challenged with. You might think that the stadiums could hold more than they can, but when you apply the rules set forth by the state, that's not the case.
So students only,
right now, students only, and June 4th and 5th, I think we're going to have one on a Thursday, one on a Friday, and a rain date on Saturday.
My. Well, you broached the magic topic for today, which is I know you've been spending a lot of time trying to figure out how you're going to educate next year and meet all of these new guidelines that are part of everybody's world. You know, the 6 feet. I mean, how can you do this?
Well, I think a lot of clarity would be provided. The Accelerate South Carolina and Molly's subcommittee on that is currently working on all the questions you're asking. They have set, I believe Molly Spearman, I should say her last name, State Superintendent of Education, she has set a date, I think it's May 25th or so, where that committee will report back some recommendations. So we're planning our own approach, but a lot of it will be driven by what is allowed by the state. How many can you ride a school bus? How many kids can you get in a class? You know, those limits. So we'll have to get guidance and direction from that committee, and then we'll. So if we were on this program a month from now, we'd probably know a lot more than we know now. So, but we've got to address all the issues that you mentioned.
If they were to come back and say we're satisfied that we got the virus behind us, and that you can pretty much, let's say you could open it, I don't know, 75% capacity. Mm-hmm. Are those the kinds of scenarios you're running as to how we would you know, how are we going to fill the math class with 75% of the students, and where are we going to take the other 25%?
Yeah, we're running all kinds of scenarios. Some of the discussion out of the Accelerate South Carolina committee is running staggered weeks, Monday, Wednesday, Friday one week, and Tuesday, Thursday for one group of students the next week. That way you'd be going to school 5 days out of 10, we'd have to work around that. I think the problem is you don't want to run the buses, not to mention if you can get all 72 on a bus, but you don't want to double run them because it'll cost the state a lot of money. So there's all kind of – when you make one decision, it begets the next challenge. So I think you just have to start picking things off. So we have not gotten too deep into scenarios, because why do all the planning when we don't know exactly what the recommendations are, what's going to be allowed? So
will the end of this month give you enough time to figure it out before the traditional start of school?
Well, I think so. Yes, I think the answer to that is yes. That's the plan anyway. But it's like Molly Spearman said, we're going to, even if we came out tomorrow with a full-blown plan, it's all going to be dependent on, you have to look at it in June and look at it in July and see where the virus is. So it'll have to be, well, for example, the colleges are saying they're opening South Carolina, and I'm sure Clemson will probably follow on time. Well, right. I think there's a caveat in there that they'll continue. If something is bad in July, they may have to adjust that, you know. So I think that's where we all are, just going, look at the data on a daily basis and then go forward.
My gosh.
I don't think we need a lot of lead time in answer to, I think, what you're asking. We're going to be so pumped about getting back that I think we'll stand on our head to make it happen.
And I'm sure we will. I'm just thinking about, you know, all your school facilities are packed. I mean, you're getting 1,000 more students this year, right?
Yeah.
So if they say that you can only operate at half or three-quarter capacity in order to give us adequate spacing, then that's, you know, you're right. You're going to have to go to some kind of a staggered schedule.
Yeah,
you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, sort of like what they're trying to decide, how many people they can get in Williams-Brice Stadium on a Saturday. You know, if it's 15,000, then I guess they'll have 15,000.
Yeah. And who gets the tickets?
Well, I guess they'll figure that out. It won't be me. I'm not on the priority list at the University of South Carolina.
It will be you when we get back to talk about high school athletics as we continue our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical way we do it is right here on the T-shirt. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great supper salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Nicole Thompson, assistant principal at Griggs Road Elementary School in Clover.
The connectivity program, it's more than just academics. It became helping them to feel part of a school system, have a voice in their building and inside of their classrooms, but it also provided us an opportunity to really get to know families one-on-one. Technology is a gateway for students to really see their potential and what 21st century learning is all about and to be ready. Luckily, Comporium was willing to get on board, helping us to educate our students.
Hear the full story at humantech.comporium.com.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, emergency room director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we are here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
How's this for March Madness? As the world changes, so is our service to our friends at Substation 2. Effective immediately, whether you call in, fax, or order online at mysubstation2.com, we'll bring your order out to your car, or you can stay at home for home delivery. Isn't a great supper salad from Substation 2 just what you need at a time like this?
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fort Mill School Superintendent Dr. Chuck Epps is with us today. And he's got a few issues that he's trying to figure out and waiting for the authority down in British Columbia to tell them what is going to be permissible. All right, I got that. That's May 26th, or 25th. Or,
yeah, I think that's the end of the month her committee is shooting for.
And that's when you can run your scenarios based on whatever she says.
You have a little more definitive information.
Okay. I'm sure you have added to the mix of all this confusion. We are in a very heavily populated football community, which has now been crowned by having the Carolina Panthers move to York County. So talk to me about high school football, which everybody loves. Everybody loves the bands. Everybody loves the cheerleaders. Everybody loves everything about high school football.
Well, let's begin by saying that the South Carolina High School League dictates or controls a lot of those questions. And a lot of people don't know that. They think we do, but we do not. It's sort of like the NCAA. The member schools belong, and then they dictate eligibility rules and those kinds of issues. So I'm sure they're looking. I have not spoken directly with Jerome Singleton, but I understand they're looking at all kind of scenarios behind the scenes, and as to shortening their season, full-blown season, what to do, just like the colleges are dealing with. So I don't have a lot of their answers. I know their primary goal is to play football and play it on time because it's it's a revenue driver for all the other sports.
What's kind of the glue that holds the community together?
I mean, that's
football is football. It just involves so many elements of the. It's not just the football players, but it's you know, I love the booster clubs. All those moms and dads that get out there and cook hot dogs to raise money for the kids. I mean, it's fabulous. By the way, the concession stand at Catawba Ridge. I can't believe I went over there last season. We have the annual radio listener guys to hand out. And, of course, it poured rain that opening game.
Just poured rain. I remember that.
And so I got sheltered inside the concession stand. That thing is bigger than a convenience store. And I took a video of it. I got it on my phone somewhere. It's the most marvelous concession stand I've ever seen.
Well, every time we do a new school or a new stadium, we learn from the last time. So I'm sure the thinking there was to generate monies for the booster clubs.
So here we are. We're about ready to graduate the class of 2020. And as you've just pointed out, there are going to be ceremonies on the 4th and 5th of June at the stadium. It's all going to be outdoors, rain date the next day. What do you tell? I mean, I don't know whether you, as a superintendent, get to speak at any of these things. I don't know whether that's your role, but I'm just wondering if there's a special kind of message. If you could, what would you say to these kids?
Well, before I say that, first of all, every district probably does it different. In our district, all the years I went to school here, we allow the high school principals to be the primary speakers, along with we don't call in. Guest speakers, then they have the salutatorian and the valedictorian talk. So we keep it school focused. But what I would say to any of them is I would tell them, you know, how proud we are of them for enduring, facing their first, and for many of these kids, probably the first challenge of not being normal in their life, you know. And that this is a lesson, I believe, just based on the last 100 years of how challenges hit our society. This is a good lesson in picking yourself up and dealing with it. And this will probably not be the only stress moment or only challenge they'll have in their lives. So, and I would say going forward, it's going to be all right. Yes, the graduation looks very different for you today, students, but you will go on to wonderful and amazing things, and this will just be something you can look back on and talk about, wow, we were the class of 2020. Let me tell you what happened to us.
Somebody pointed out to me something very interesting, Dr. Epps. This class of 2020, many of them were born in the aftermath of 9/11. And here they are graduating in 2020. Two major milestones in our country's history. Isn't that something?
Already. See,
already.
In a 10-year or 20-year, you know, just amazing.
It is amazing. Okay. And I think these young men and women will learn that you, as they get older, you don't learn anything out of success. You learn it all out of failure. And challenge is part of this thing called life, and you're going to have it all the way.
Well, and one hit that this generation has taken is that they are not resilient. You know, the me generation, so they're forced to be resilient. Right. I think in this situation.
Sure. So, what do you do between now and May 25th in terms of kind of wrapping up the year?
Well, what we're doing, we're evaluating the e-learning. We're about to roll out a bunch of surveys to all the students, parents, and teachers. So we're going to program evaluate everything we've done, learned a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot good, a lot bad, Manny. Obviously, it wasn't like having face-to-face, so we learned that. We take these lessons in preparation for next year. So we've got to plan summer schools. You know, we're definitely shooting for it right now. We've moved summer school from June to July. And that's going to be one program we'll use to catch up students. So we're taking those decisions month by month. But yeah, we're in a full blown program evaluation right now, particularly on the curriculum side. That's where many of the questions you're asking will come from, and many of the answers. So we're not just sitting here waiting on the 25th, if that's what you're
thinking. I didn't think you were. Not for a minute, but I do think, as we said earlier in the program, that one thing that's come out of this very clearly is not only a greater appreciation for the teachers, but to see how the teachers, how sincerely they miss being in the classroom with the students. I mean, you've seen some of these videos of teachers going out and doing these parades up and down these neighborhood streets saying how much we miss you and all that kind of stuff.
Just numerous examples just in Little Fort Mill, and I'm sure they're everywhere, of teachers, as you say, making their own videos. And, you, in my case, you can't help but tear up when you watch them. But just amazing the care. You get away from the academic piece or the cognitive piece of their jobs. You find out why they went into teaching in the first place. It's because they genuinely want to help people. And you see that side of a good teacher. And if that's not there, then certainly it's evident to the kids. But that's what you're talking about. It's coming out in this bad time.
Dr. Chuck Epps, thank you for everything that you do for education in our area and the Fort Mill School District particularly. And we will wait with great interest to see what happens after May the 25th.
And thank you for the job your radio station does, Manning, to help us.
Thank you, Chuck. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our main cheerleader has just arrived. Dr. Scott Oliver is here to lead us in the chant about why we hang out here at Substation 2, despite the fact that you can't dine in. You can come in here and get a great sandwich and just run on out. And the reason it is because of this magic slogan right here. We're all going to say it together. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. All right, back. We'll see you tomorrow on the radio. Curtis!